You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stephon Diggs is going to join us here in a little bit, Stugatz. I want to talk to him about the heat on that field and ask him some questions about whether it's reasonable for any kinds of human beings to have 73 Josh Allen dropbacks. That's 11 more than he's ever had. That means guys in that heat with pads in 120-degree weather were running sprints all game. It has to be as tired as Stephon Diggs has ever been at the end of the game. It has to be.
I'm surprised he has the strength to join us. I mean, seriously, to do anything at this point. Both sides. I can't believe the Dolphins have to play a game again in 48 hours.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Hey, it's not often that you can see heat. Like, we saw
like
heat
on race cars and helmets.
Yeah, like the entire field was a mirage. I've never seen a team so affected by it during play. You'll see players cramp up occasionally. You'll see them on the sideline very clearly tired. But during the course of the game's most crucial moments, you saw Diggs go on and off that field a handful of times because he was clearly cramping up. You had two people, more than one, get parenthetically heat illness in terms of their status for the game, which I don't know about you guys, but that's heat stroke. That's heat stroke.
Oh, but I'm surprised it didn't happen to a dozen guys.
What do you think? I want to ask Stephon Diggs what that locker room looked like immediately after they walked off the field and went in there. Were there people yakking? I imagine there were people getting IVs. That looked like a mash unit. You'd know, like, from how they rushed to the line, they literally had nothing left.
Couldn't you argue? You could make the argument, given all of the things with the change in climate and science and everything, and the science of what these guys do for a living, professionalism, where what we're watching now, we can all agree, right, the absurdity of he's just going to throw it to CeeDee Lamb's hand and Cooper Rush can just do it there in one hand of open. If CeeDee Lamb can get a hand open, Cooper Rush can hit him there. That's what we're playing with. That's as tired as human beings have ever been at the end of a football game. That the Buffalo Bills just played a game, and the most tired you can be is their offense. Josh Allen dropping back 73 times. That Tua was holding Josh Allen up to comfort him. To hold him because he's like, I know how hard that was. I play in it all the time. And he whispers to him, wait till you come to the ice.
Careful with my back.
We're going to short circuit your heaters.
It has to be that game or the Dolphin Charger game in which they carried Kellen Winslow off the field.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Kellen Winslow Sr. dragged off because he blocked a field goal.
That was a night game around the playoffs. This was September, Hard Rock Stadium.
120 degrees.
And given what's going on with the climate, I assure you, it's a lot hotter now. That was finally the national attention that we've been telling you about for the last few months.
Oh, I don't think people are paying. I think they think it's football. I don't think that analysis is happening anywhere nationally. That, yes, of course, they're gassed, and yes, of course, South Florida's hot. But no, those are unreasonable, cruel conditions for human beings to play offense that way.
Imagine if Chris Cody just made this take back here was, you know, that stadium until very recently didn't have a roof. There was no shade in sight. I've been there for Marlins games where I leave swollen.
Now there's just shade on the Dolphins side.
Yeah, well, there's, no, it's there's like there's weird.
The whole field is in the sun and the Bills sideline. Everyone else, I mean, and the fans that paid like thousands of dollars to sit right behind the Bills bench. I was actually I don't want to be mean laughing, but you see a bunch on like just past the Bills sideline, like a bunch of Bills fans bought tickets right by their bench, and that part was just getting drilled.
Well, they want the way that the premium seating where they have those living room seats, they don't want that side on the camera because it won't present that well. So they have the hard cam on the sunny side, and often people are just opting out entirely on the sun because there's so much shade available in that venue that they are the one place, and it's unhealthy. It's genuinely dangerous.
You remember Bill Belichick brought the Patriots down here 4 days early in a failed effort just to adjust to the temperature here. I mean, it is such a factor.
To the degree that they didn't have multiple players suffering heat stroke, and granted the game was a completely different game and the Bills were pressing like hell and ran 90 offensive plays.
I've had friends who say that those tickets that are very expensive, no thank you. No, thank you. Even if you give them to me for free, I'd rather watch the game in my house than sit in the most expensive seats that there are at that stadium close to the field.
You're just there.
And it's God with a microscope burning ants. And so many Bills fans must have gone home radioactive red.
Right. Yeah. I have seats on the opposite end on the shade. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to do this? Like, this is so hot out here because of the humidity alone. You couple that with like skin-searing heat. I can't imagine, and I'm very curious how vivid a picture Stefon Diggs can paint for us.
I know that, and obviously he puts in the most effort, and for me, I feel terrible for the linemen just because they're leaning against each other for 90 plays, but there is one gig for someone in the Buffalo Bills organization that I'm also very interested in. The entire time the Buffalo Bills went to the sideline, we see Josh Allen sat on the bench. There is someone who is carrying a canopy for all of the Bills players. They're all sat on the bench, and there's a guy whose job it is to stand there for 3 hours and hold a shade for these players while getting baked themselves.
It was a sad canopy. I don't understand why they don't put more resources into like just putting a big tent over they were moving it along to players. I would just have the entire bench.
Funny, primitive. The measurements with the chains, and right behind that, we can't protect human beings in a $1 billion industry from baking because they can't put $100,000 into. Hey, the human beings need to be not charred by the experience.
When you're the road team, it's on you to buy the tents to protect your players.
You're probably not even allowed to
say,
bring
that's what we did with lacrosse. If it was hot during a tournament, we would buy a Florida Select tent.
You must not be allowed to.
And we would construct it and put it up ourselves, and that way, you know, the kids would have some shade.
They should hand out umbrellas.
Why would the Dolphins do that for the Bills? The Bills need to do that for the Bills.
Teams travel. Whenever the Cowboys go to cold climate areas, famously, they'd bring the heated benches. There has to be something about the structures. I would just fake an injury so I can go to the injury tent the
entire
time.
These guys have Ed Oliver coming out as a good teammate and just carrying a parasol for Josh Allen.
Exactly
right.
A couple of stakes. You drive it into the grass stand. Yep. Everyone's standing under the umbrella. It's fantastic.
That has to be the worst job for an equipment staffer, though, right? You already have to carry all the heavy shit in and out of the stadium. And then on the actual game day, you got to stand there in the baking hot sun for 3 hours and 20 minutes holding a shade particularly effective.
Well, which one is worse? You tell me. How would you feel about all of those uniforms going into the laundry by your hand? Like what that thing smells like, what that locker room smells like, doing that, the thousands of pounds of sweat-soaked uniform, or do they just leave it behind? Do they just undress, throw it in the dumpster,
and just, all the uniforms.
Just set fire to it?
I think Sundays weren't usable again. I do. I think they did leave them behind for the first time ever.
There are just certain instances in life, whether it be the South Florida heat or stepping into the Dania High Life Cigar Lounge, that you just realize you're never wearing this outfit ever again.
The melting pot fondue does that sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Of course, that's where I would end
Hibachi.
Up. Delicious fondue.
You know it when you're in it. Like, I can never wear this getup ever again.
Stugatz was so proud looking at the television here because Stugatz, you know, he scurried his way up the ESPN mountain and we got as high as we could over there. But he legitimately had pride as he walked past his television and First Take had been interrupted because Mike Michael Irvin and Stephen A. Smith had to sit there and listen to what Mina Kimes had to say about football because she knows what she's talking about.
Like, it was fantastic. I'm so proud of her. She's so great, but she's sitting right in the middle of two monster personalities, Stephen A. and the playmaker Michael Irvin, and she is commanding and controlling the entire conversation.
Yeah, it's cool.
And they're paying attention because they know,
yeah,
A, she's smarter than they are. She's smarter than all of us. And B, she's more informed. And it was just cool to see that, her controlling that room, that table.
That space has been an awfully small window. Kerry Champion has complained about this. It does not allow a lot of room. My show, Stephen A. Smith, doesn't allow a lot of room for that. So I was just as happy seeing her there as you were. But the television that will carry is Preacher Man Michael Irvin, 11 straight minutes of sweating on television and licking his fingers and eating his fingers. And I am totally fine with everyone forgetting all of the past on Michael Irvin and just starting over with right now on his television career and everything else. I do worry, though, when he gets that elevated, that we're ignoring pieces of his past that perhaps we should not be.
It's not easy to hold on to a TV job as long as he's had. Look how Tony Gonzalez hasn't been in television that long, and he has worked for every major network that covers football. It is hard to hang on. Jerry Rice couldn't do it. Emmett Smith couldn't do it. You have to be a captivating TV personality because every year there is a new slew of people that want to get into media that are good, that are less removed from the game than Michael Irvin. You hear this sometimes with Troy Aikman. It's been, you think back, it's been about 25 years, and the coverages were a lot different when Troy Aikman played the game.
He hit you with a back in my day yesterday. I was watching the game. I was like, I don't know if back in my day, everyone is trying to get the most recently retired analysts. I don't know if you want to do the back in my day, this is how we played football.
If we're really doing it the right way, it's actually unbelievable that TNT's NBA show is as good as it is, considering their takes are soaked in like this 90s archaic way of playing basketball.
They don't like jump shooting teams.
It just doesn't really make sense with today's NBA. Often their takes, whether it be big men or how jump shooting teams can't win, it doesn't really make sense. But they are so individually and collectively entertaining that we bypass all of that. Football, the X's and O's are a little bit more important. You can't be so removed from the game. You have to be a transcendent personality to last as long as Michael Irvin has. And he showed you on ESPN Today by filling 12 minutes. There ain't really anybody that brings that kind of energy.
Michael is so different for me than anybody else. He's bombastic. He's physically animated.
Great at television.
He's great.
Indisputably great at television.
Right. Yes.
And has been since college.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Has been since he was 18. You talk about somebody who was ready for what those lights were, wanted it, craved it, and was good from the moment he stepped on campus.
Yep.
Hell, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen Greg Cody write was about the beginning of Michael Irvin's career at the University of Miami.
I remember I took him across the street from campus and bought him breakfast at a Denny's, which probably violated four or five NCAA rules. He was a freshman.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Stephen I know you want to get nostalgic, but Billy has five. He sounded an
Stephen
alert.
Stephen A's list, top five NFL
top
teams, five. Number five.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The Ravens.
The Ravens are number five.
Oh, my gosh.
Billy, this is going to take a minute. Do you want to go into the other room, or you can do this from here?
I can't miss it right now. I'm predicting they're at three or four. I'm predicting he doesn't go one. I'm predicting three or four.
I can't hear. It's on mute.
That's not great for what we're doing.
Don't what? Do it. What? I knew it.
Get out of here.
Four.
What?
He's been 2 hours.
He's going to put Buffalo ahead of him. He's going to. He's going to put Buffalo ahead.
Oh, my God.
Good job to Duke.
Bay.
Here come the Bills. Four.
You don't have to see the rest of the list, right?
No.
I mean, it's a lot of Bills.
I want to go back to my dad buying Michael Irvin.
This is nonsense.
Get Mina back. We need a real football expert.
He dropped the dookie.
Doing this whole thing.
Green Bay is three.
Ridiculous wrestling characters on television. Mina Kimes, real journalist. Get her top five. You know what? Get her top five. Can one of you text her, please? And she's going to put the Dolphins lower than one as well, isn't she?
Probably.
She'll have the Seahawks through five.
What Stephen A. is about to do, if he puts the Bills ahead of the Dolphins.
He's going
to
put them at one, I think.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be up there at two or one, and so the Bills are going to be the other one,
no,
right?
No, it's going to be Eagles-Bills or Bills-Eagles, I think. So no. They're the Bills.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, he's going to go Philadelphia because he's from Philadelphia. That's why.
So he's got the Dolphins at four, despite the Dolphins beating two other teams in the top five. It's just the math for me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yep.
No Chiefs in the top five, though.
No. Also the Colts, man.
But we know that it's going to be the Eagles, right? Because of how proudly Philadelphia is while also being proudly New York.
I'm texting Mina right now for top five NFL teams.
But we're gonna,
should we all?
Are we going to get out on number one? Is that not blasphemy to not weigh a Stephen A. Smith list down to number one? Should we just get out on the segment? Get out on the experience? No Mad Dog. This isn't Wednesday. We don't want to do this anymore. We'll get Mina's expertise. It's going to be more journalistically sound. Excellent. We'll do that next.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Many of you, by the way, are writing in and you're saying, Dan, quit being so mean to co-hosts that you always deem incompetent. That's the formula, man. Me being mean to the co-host is what allows Stugatz to take a very wealthy vacation right now.
Stugatz.
It's a winning position for everyone but me. Have you guys not figured this out yet? That's the whole thing, is me being rotten straight, man, as everyone else gets to be incompetent, and I yell at them for being incompetent. And here's the miracle of it, it's the magic elixir. Bad, which is the only thing Greg Cody can be, becomes good and lovable. And it's because standing next to obnoxious, strident me makes everyone look that way.
Yeah, and the brush with death helped.
Yeah, that was planned by me. The whole thing was contrived.
This is the Don Libertar Show with the Stugatz.
We are joined by the chief ball officer. We feel for him. It felt deeply cruel and unpleasant to have him continue to run routes on 73 dropbacks when the South Florida sun makes it 120 degrees. Stephon Diggs has lived. He is here. The torso part of him is here. I don't know about the rest of him. Have you ever been as tired at the end of a football game as the one you just played? And thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me. First of all, I appreciate you guys. And hell no, I have never been that tired in my life. I had full body cramps after the game, full body cramps. I've never experienced that as well. I probably laid on that table and I was like, yeah, this is it for me. So I'm here though. Here I am. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, but you're a badass. Yeah. I was watching what you were doing, and I'm like, does anybody know how hard this is? This man has to. this is not. No, I'm not kidding. That full body cramps. Take us through what that is, because I believe that your team played in inhumane conditions on Sunday.
Yeah. I think it's set up that way because if you ever notice on the Miami field, the Miami side is under the shade. Majority of the Miami side is under the shade. And our side is in the sun that, you know, turns those grapes into raisins. And it was real fun out there. I mean, the full body cramp is when your hamstrings, your quads, your arms, your stomach, all that good stuff cramps up. So it's just part of the game.
Wait a minute. It is not just part of the game. No, wait a minute. You just described.
You've never experienced that before.
Stephon, you just said, is this it for me? You have never felt at the end of the game. This is it. I am dying.
I was a little concerned. I had this photo I had the trainers take. They had an IV in both my arms, and I've never had an IV in both my arms at one time. I told you, I was a little concerned. I was like, yeah, this is it for me. This is it. We're going to go out on top.
Okay, so I couldn't believe the amount. Oh, you didn't, though. That's right. You didn't.
Ouch.
Because he short-armed. Because he short-armed that pass. He had only 61 bullets in the arm, and he needed to have the 62nd one.
Yeah, it happens.
What was the locker room like? Can you explain to us? It's got to be bodies all over the place. It's got to smell worse than anything you've ever smelled.
Yeah. It was definitely, you know, guys, everybody was tired, you know, but it was like shit. Like, guys went down and then we had some guys step up. It was just like this. Guys were really fighting out there. You had an appreciation, and it was no moral victories in there. You know, we wanted to come out with a win, but we did come out. What we have is a real team, a fighting team, and a team that's not going to, we ain't going to lay down. At least we're going to give you everything we got. So it's just some minor miscues and, you know, some detail stuff.
You have to draft tomorrow to win on Sunday. And the South Florida Sun is on the draft board. You can have all the players, or you can have the Sun that you played in.
Just the Sun.
You would take the Sun over Josh Allen. Yes.
I'm putting that Sun against anybody but Josh.
Not Goodell hugging the Sun.
Stefan, have you watched the video of your offensive coordinator, of Kenny Dorsey's reaction to Josh Allen not being able to throw it 5 more yards?
No, I was like this. When I watched the video, I was like this. Damn, like, I personally love the video just because, like, as a player, you got to love it from your OC, the guy that calls the plays and the guy that puts a lot into this football thing, to care. You know, some guys pack their papers up in a folder and say, all right, well, get them next time. Like, nah, like, that type of energy and that type of love and support, that's what you want. I love the video. I don't know. If you didn't love the video, you're probably not a football fan, so it's something that I like.
But if we're speaking honestly, right, you guys fight that way at the end of the game, and Josh makes a great play to get out of a sack. He should have been sacked. He's inhumanly, he's really strong, and then you don't get out of bounds. That's what Dorsey's frustration was about. The time ran out on you guys, and you did not get the field goal. So who made the mistake? Is there a mistake, or is it just we lose?
Nah, I think it's we lose because Lil Dirty was trying to get out of bounds. And when he realized he couldn't get out of bounds, he tried to cut it up. And then, like, I think when he was walking back to spot the ball, 15 tried to bump him. And I tried to bump 15 because he was trying to bump Lil Dirty to knock some time out. So it's like, it's no one man's fault. It was just a minor detail.
Isaiah McKenzie's dirty.
He is a little bit.
Yeah, Lil Dirty tried. My bad for the name. That's Lil Dirty. But Isaiah McKenzie tried, man. He was trying to get out of bounds, bro. He was trying to be smart.
I got
to add context to my names too. Like, y'all already know the names.
but put us in the locker room. Who gets the worst beating? Do you feel worse than anybody, or does everyone have full body cramps?
No, everybody felt bad. I don't know not one person who said they didn't feel something out there. So it was just like shit. We fought long. We fought hard. We just didn't come out with a dub. You know, I don't think anybody, you know, nobody feels like we have a bad team in no way, no regard. We have a good football team. It was just like some things didn't go our way. We just got to be tightened up on the details.
Are the Dolphins better than you are?
Better football team? They were this past Sunday when they won. Are they in the grand scheme of things? I guess we got only time will tell. We'll see.
That's very well done, Stefan, because I know how much confidence you've got. Like, I know you know how good you are, but you don't want any of those headlines until you're ready to prove it. Like, you just,
yeah, the sound bites are good. I'm good at it though. Like, you can throw that stuff at me. I'm gonna out there in the heat.
Are you surprised Tua was allowed back in the game?
I didn't. I actually didn't see the video until after the game. In the game, I was like, "Oh damn, Tua's out," and I didn't know it. I was hot as shit, so, like, obviously I barely know what was going on. So
I was like, oh, you didn't even know he was out.
After the game, I watched the video, and I was a little like, damn, like, he must hit his head pretty hard. But I'm telling you, part of it being you're in the heat and you hit your head against the ground, it's like it's a combination of shit. A lot of shit happens.
Do you believe that it's his head and not his back, or do you believe them when they say it was his back and the NFLPA is out here saying that you know, we want the concussion protocol investigated?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I'm on no one's side. Who's to say? I'm not a back specialist or a head specialist. You know, I can only watch the video and be like, this, damn, that's a very...
You're a BS specialist. I mean, come on, man.
He's so good at it.
What do I know, right? What do I know? He's out
there. Stefan, the NFL's been wondering for 2+ years now, so I want to get it from you, an eyewitness expert. How good is Tua?
He's a good player. It just, I feel like he gets a lot of hate because he's a left-handed quarterback. You know, left-handed quarterbacks are special. They are special. He can do some things that some right-hand quarterbacks can't do. people aren't a fan of him. You know, I like Tua. He went to school with my little brother. I think he's a good player. I think he's a winner.
Stephon Diggs is among the hundreds of NFL players in DraftKings' newest game, Rainmakers Football, the next generation of fantasy football. Rainmakers features digital player cards for fans to collect and compete in weekly contests for up to $1 million in various prizes. Check out DraftKings Marketplace and Rainmakers Football to build, play, and win today. Stephon, are you wondering why Dan is dressed like a clown today at all? Or
no, I wasn't concerned. That's normal, right?
yeah, pretty much.
No, but I was looking at the weather on this view, on Chris's view. It doesn't look like the weather's too hot there.
No,
we got a storm bearing down on us a little bit. They just closed schools for tomorrow. Yeah,
you guys make sure you get out of there in time. Now I'm concerned about you.
Thank you for your concern. I wanted to ask you because, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble here. I really do want to understand the distinctions being made, and you're one of the guys who can navigate all this stuff. So you're doing a sponsorship here with DraftKings that is gambling being normalized. You are doing a commercial with Kevin Hart and everyone else, and Calvin Ridley sitting out a year because he did a parlay. When that news landed, as someone, you don't want anyone messing with your money. And how do you navigate all of these things as a businessman and as an adult professional who is interested in maximizing fame and platform?
I think it's definitely something you got to put in perspective. And it's weird, and I don't want to put this in this kind of context, but it's I feel like it was something that was made with parameters, and you got to fall in those parameters at that time frame when certain things are being made legal. I don't particularly know the details of betting or not betting, but I know there's certain parameters around it and your involvement to what extent. So I try not to teeter the edge. I try to just fall in line with, you know, what we're allowed and what we're not allowed to do. And we'll see how it goes from there. But I try to stay aligned. You know, if I'm not, you guys will be the first to not know.
Thank you. How has the Buffalo experience been for you? Because you have gone from, I don't know if perhaps it feels like you've done what Tyreek Hill did, where you went from one place where you were a vital cog, but perhaps not the biggest star on the team, even though perhaps you should have been, to now going to Buffalo, making a quarterback an MVP candidate, and everyone can see how good you are at this.
I mean, it's been one of those, like, I keep saying it's like that perfect part in the movie. I'm just waiting for it to, you know, to transpire, to come into fruition. I've just been riding these things out, trying not to ride the roller coaster too much because it's been so much good, you know, throughout this process. I feel like Bills Mafia welcomed me. Everybody knows Bills Mafia. They go crazy. I've never been a part of a fan base like this. And just my team, you know, I love this team. I feel like it was a blessing, more of a blessing for them to welcome me than to me be here. You know, I'm really thankful for that. I can hang my hat on that. They mess with me over here. I like them over here.
Stephon, getting back to how hot it was on Sunday, did you feel bad for the people that had to carry that very pathetic shade that got you a little bit of shade during the game on Sunday?
Oh, my God. Out there, it's a real hostile environment. I don't recommend it to anybody because if you're a guy holding the shade, you're going to get a hard time. I think one of my trainers, his name is Tabani, right? I'm in the huddle, and he, like, you know, I'm just walking, getting in the huddle, and he, like probably like one of those incidental bumps, like one of those bumps, like where you like kind of like knock a guy off. And I felt like I was somewhere where I'm not supposed to be, and somebody bumped me and I got real mad. I said, come on, Tabani. Like, come on, I'm tired of shit. Bumping me and shit. So I feel like it's just a very hostile environment. Everybody shake hands and, you know, hug afterwards. But out there, I feel bad for anybody that's just in the heat.
Can you explain to us, Stefano, for people who do not understand, because I'm not kidding you, and Stugatz noticed this on Sunday, that I felt bad for you for what you were, no, what you were physically trying
all
to
of
do.
You.
Well, but no, but you were hands on knees. You were, I don't know if you've ever, like you say, you've never been that tired. You've certainly never shown anybody that you're not supposed to show people that you're that beat. So explain to us, when you think you're dying, the full body cramps and all of that, is that the worst of it? Or did it feel worse before that? Cause you're drinking plenty of water, right?
Nah, it feels worse afterwards, especially when you lose shit. Like, you did all that and still tired. I'm still tired after the game. My body's still going to be hurting. But it's just like during the game, it's kind of like I compare it to going into the deep end of the water and not necessarily knowing how to swim. Like, you know how to tread water. You know how to stay alive. But you might not necessarily know how to swim. And not everybody's willing to go in the deep end. So being out there with your team and, you know what I'm saying, that kind of gives you some hope. Like, shit, I ain't out here by myself. So it's just like that's just part of the process.
The Dolphins have to play Thursday. I'm wondering if you had to play Thursday, could you?
Hell yeah. It's different. You need 2 days to at least replenish your body, but it's definitely going to be it's tough. Is it back in Miami again?
No,
Cincinnati.
No, they're going to Cincinnati.
It's not going to be as hot, but Cincinnati gets hot too. So, I mean, I think you just put it in perspective of shit. They got to go. You got to go right now. You know what I'm saying? Those games that get up on you fast, make sure you hydrate because, you know, that'll help you a little bit.
When you look at skill guys, collections of skill guys in the league, what are the groups that you like the best? Because you went from one that was plenty strong with you to one that is still very strong without you. But when I say skill guys, I'm not even counting the quarterback in there. I'm talking about the guys around the quarterback.
Mean like wide receiver groups?
Yeah, wide receivers and running backs. Just what you believe to be your offense hadn't had a 3rd and 10 until Sunday. The third quarter, you guys hadn't had a 3rd and 10. That seems crazy to me. How well you guys are playing offense.
We have one of those for sure. As far as like at the quarterback position, we have a lot of talent, like crazy talent. That special talent. We got some guys on the outside that can win, especially in the middle. You know, Isaiah McKenzie, Jameson Crowder, Gabriel Davis. We got Dawson Knox. We even got a fullback that can get open. So, and Motor Singletary. Like, we got a lot of guys. I think we're up there with talent. I feel like who else is up there with talent? Cincinnati has some great guys on the outside, a great quarterback play. Justin Herbert is playing balls out as usual. He throws a hell of a ball. It's nothing new. I feel like Tom Brady makes something happen. And Patrick Mahomes still slinging the ball around at a high clip. I feel like we're up there with guys that are explosive, but it's a lot of guys out there. Even Miami. I mean, I feel like they still had an explosive day. They got some receivers that can run extremely fast, so I'm fine.
Is Josh Allen the most confident person you know?
He's got to be top three. I know some confident guys, including myself, but right. Josh Allen gives you hope. Like from your quarterback position, what you want from your quarterback is not only when something is there to make it happen, but when it's not there, I need you to make something happen that's not there. Like, I've seen him do that on more than one occasion. I've seen him, you know, that quarterback that you can say, shit, I can call any play and I got some confidence. He'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying? He, as a wide receiver, I feel like he gives me hope. And I say, like, shit, we ain't never out of a game. We always got a chance.
Did you have any questions about going to Buffalo and playing with him? Because my analysis on him was terrible. I said that he was a terrible quarterback when I saw him throw to a double-covered fullback in a playoff game, and I didn't think they could coach the inaccuracy out of him or the recklessness out of him. What are you seeing that I didn't see? Because I went early on, I would not have trusted my career to that quarterback.
I played with 5 quarterbacks, I think, in Minnesota. And something taught me early on when I was with Teddy. Teddy was a quarterback that made a lot of good decisions, and you got to find what works for that quarterback. If the quarterback likes to bomb, like to throw his bombs all day, man, you got to be ready to catch long passes. Or like, I have one stint in my career at Minnesota where I was one of the best long catchers. Like, but I'm like this, I'm just doing what the job entails. Whatever the quarterback likes to do, I'm involved. Like, so going in, like, I never saw what everybody else saw in him. Like, I saw a young quarterback that had a strong arm, but he was a winner. Like, they beat the shit out of us. Excuse my language. I don't know if this is for a kids show, but they beat the crap out of us in Minnesota. And I was like, damn, he is a winner. Like, that's one thing I took from watching the game. Like, I don't know, at 17, he a winner. I seen him jumping over linebackers and stuff like that. I was like, shit, like, he's not bad. But it was later on when they thought about trading me during the season, and I was like, I don't know. Give it, if we're gonna do anything, it's probably after the season. So, I mean, as a player, I was like, this shit, what I want for myself, I can see it over there. I see a young quarterback with a lot of potential. They had just went to the playoffs. We played lights out. And I was like, shit, we damn near the same team. We both lost in the first round of the playoffs. Why not? And I rolled the dice and said, I'm betting that I could get the best out of him.
There are two questions, Stefan, this show has been asking for about 10 years. Are the Raiders for real? You don't need to answer that one. But this one, you can answer. Is Kirk Cousins good?
Yes. The Raiders are for real, too, though. When Derek Carr is hot, he's hot. Yeah. Devontae Adams is still one of the best.
No, they can't be for real at 0-3.
0-3, Stephon, though.
Stephon, no, that's,
yeah. Listen,
come on,
no, listen, no, hear me out. How many games are in this season?
There are 17 games in the season.
So if I only lose 3... I mean, we had a great year.
All right. Are you?
You got them going off 14 straight.
14 straight. You got Stephon Diggs predicts the Raiders will win 14 straight.
Positive affirmation. And Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you've seen his success and how well he can throw the ball consistently, he's a good quarterback. You know, everybody has those things of things not going right, but. You know, as far as like getting put in the right position, him being able to throw the ball, you've seen him excel at it. You know what I'm saying? Multiple times on multiple occasions.
Fill in some blanks for me here. The best, not you're not allowed to pick yourself here. The best because you can't. The best route runner in the NFL is blank. The best route runner not named Stephon Diggs.
Diggs, Stephon. All right, hold on. Let me think.
Well played.
Let me think. I got, but it's tough. Like, I got a nice little group that's really, really good.
That's okay, but I'm pinning you down. If you want to name all of them, that's fine. We got 3 minutes with you left, and we want to make sure to get the DraftKings plug in there.
Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. I don't want to forget
fastest.
Anybody.
The fastest receiver in the NFL is blank.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay, the best cornerback in the NFL is blank.
Ooh, that's tough. Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, good well answer.
The best cornerback who is not in my family is blank.
Oh, what happened? What'd you say?
The best cornerback who is not in my family and plays in the NFL is blank.
No.
Okay, very well put. Okay. Tell us about
sound like Billy there.
Tell us about what you're doing with DraftKings. Tell us about the promotion and why it is that people need to be associated with what you're doing here.
It's basically the new fantasy football, combining NFTs and fantasy football with your daily fantasy. They have Rainmakers competition weekly, can win up to $1 million in prizes and even some cash and some merch. So you should sign up. It's basically the new fantasy football.
You can't give one corner the respect. You can't give.
Yes, I can. I can give a lot of them respect. But y'all not going to like my answer. I pick my teammates. Y'all don't want me to pick my teammates.
And your brother.
Because you're avoiding the headlines and you're doing that well.
Exactly.
And
I do respect a lot of guys. You know, Jalen Ramsey is one of the best corners. Xavier Howard is one of the best corners. Marshawn Lattimore. We argue all the time in my room as far as like best corners in the league. And I say, like, look, it's not really to say it's the best guy because it's 1A, 1B. Like, those guys are CB1. They're not like... You can't just be like, okay, this guy's better than this guy. Why? What makes him that much better? Shit.
DraftKings' newest game, Rainmakers Football. It's fantasy football. Everybody here is doing it.
Can we have you on every week, Stephon?
Yes, it was good talking to you, sir.
Like, this is a good show. Like, if I'm on this show again, I'm going to have to start. I need my own mic. I need my own setup.
We'll send it to you.
Done.
We'll send it to you next week. We'll make a deal off air. See you later. Thank you, sir.
Later.
Dan Levitard.
If you see a photo of fries, do you reach for it? Not unlike a pigeon flying into a sliding glass door.
I'm not kidding you. I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
You've done it to me.
Have you done that thing on like actual photographs where you try to zoom in on it with your fingers? And you just make a big streak across it?
A bigger fry? Yes, I've licked my computer screen when it's on there. I love French fries.
Stugatz.
Who doesn't love French fries? I thought that was the one thing America could agree on. I thought that that was the one place where every citizen in our country would indeed be united across the 50 states.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I have not gotten any information from Chris Cody and Chris Whittingham about Heat Media Day. Was there a lot of fat shaming of Kyle Lowry? Were a lot of people commenting on Jimmy Butler's hair choices that he says are not going into the season with him? What were the things, the takeaways? We'll get to Mina's top five power rankings in a second because she sent them to both Chris Cody and Stugatz, but Stugatz doesn't know if number one is number five or number five is number one.
She didn't clarify. I mean...
So
it's pretty standard.
As it relates Media Day, for me, the two main takeaways were just sort of the addressing head-on of the main criticisms of central Heat figures, namely Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo. Chris actually did so very creatively in an interview you will hear, if not later this week, then very soon, in terms of, hey, you weren't aggressive enough in the playoffs. And Chris dressed it up very well. But Kyle Lowry, it's very much he was called out as being out of shape by Pat Riley in his end-of-season press conference. It was very direct. Kyle Lowry has not addressed it until now, and you can tell he was very reticent to do so. He was very unhappy being there.
It was an energy. Every player is walking around with a bounce of like, first day of school, who do you need? Like, Dedmon is just doing like a stand-up set. Like, who needs a quote for me? What do you need, a little video here? He's just loving it. Yeah. And then Kyle walked in, and it's just a totally different energy.
I would say it's been reported that the family issue that Kyle Lowry was dealing with last year is very much still an issue right now. So additionally, outside of being called out by Pat Riley, he's very clearly dealing with some personal stuff.
There is a humanity at the center of Kyle Lowry at the end of his career, a borderline Hall of Fame career. It's a
definite Hall of Famer, yeah.
I think
everyone gets into that Hall of Fame.
It is a
which is why I'm doing that. Yeah.
Okay, unnecessary.
I'm just pointing it out.
Ryan That's checks that Chris Cody had to cash.
You're not in the Hall of Fame.
I'm in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Naismith.
Atta
Springfield.
Boy. Congrats.
Look it up.
Can I admit that it's the main reason I didn't want to go to He Media Day, also NFL Monday, but I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to have to face Kyle Lowry because of
Is
the
that
criticism.
Right?
You did this in Tahoe. Does he know who you
I
are?
I don't think he knows who you are.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, he was standing right next to us.
It's fine, but I don't want to suffer the consequences
right, it's still
for
awkward.
Things that I've said.
Of your cowardice?
Who the hell wants that?
He probably thinks Dan said it.
Well, that's the thing that always ends
usually
up
how that
on
works.
Me. Yes, I fat shamed him.
Sorry
yes.
about
no,
that.
No, well, you keep saying fat shame. That's not what we're doing. No, that's certainly not. I know that that's what Twitter has done. Not coming out here on a microphone saying Kyle Lowry is fat. I'm saying the exact same thing. Like, very clearly, he wasn't in the same condition that he was to start the season. He suffered injuries. He's an older player. I mean, that's a fact of the matter. The head of the team took him to task about it. And very clearly, some of that messaging landed because if you saw some of his workout photos, he was in much better condition.
But there is a humanity at the center of this that I remind you guys beyond, okay, fine, don't make it fat shaming or endorsed fat shaming by Pat Riley because that's what we're doing. Also, Kyle Lowry, paid professional borderline Hall of Famer, had an issue in his family all of last year that made him miss several games that we never found out what that was about. And my guess is whatever his energy is, probably doesn't feel great playing basketball right now. Having to come in and out of this franchise questioning your commitment on body and availability because you're dealing with family stuff and we need you to be healthy during the playoffs because the machine comes with a lot of pressure and you're the final piece and you were doubted in Toronto and Toronto loves you, but you're $85 million here and we need you to be in 6% body fat shape that everyone on this team is.
Well,
and it can be hard.
Well, I think they very clearly need him to be available and he wasn't available. So you look at the evidence suggested by last season, what can Kyle Lowry do to make himself a little bit more available? And that's aside from the personal issues that kept him away from the regular season. During the postseason, it was physical limitations, and you try to, if you want the grounds to be as fertile as humanly possible for his fitness and conditioning to be right so he's not injured and unavailable to the team, they have standards when it comes to their conditioning that Kyle Lowry, according to the head of the team, did not commit to. It's as simple as that. We had this discussion about college athletes and NIL, and it's a matter of professionalism, and here comes the criticism. If you're a professional athlete and you availability is what is mainly required of you, you're trying to be in the best possible condition to be available for your team.
They were a bounce away last year. How do you imagine that it went over with Pat Riley, Kyle Lowry?
I mean, I don't have to imagine
availability.
When has Pat Riley ever done that?
I mean, he does it. He will do that to guys who are out of shape. He's got an exacting standard from a different time.
Right, but
he did it to Wade.
Right. He did during the season. Yeah. I'm talking about the postseason wrap up. All right, when you're hyper analyzing Max Strus's heel as one of the differences as to why you're not in the NBA Finals. I mean, Kyle Lowry just wasn't there, and he was publicly called out by Pat Riley. Kyle Lowry said that he heard of the comments. Trust me, Dan's covered Pat Riley for a long time. Pat Riley, there was nothing said in that press conference that Pat Riley didn't say directly to Kyle Lowry.
It was sanitized. It was sanitized. Let's get to Billy's saddest time of the week. Or maybe it's his best time of the week because he gets to release it into the sky and not think about it for another week.
Yeah, but he starts thinking about next week right now.
Yeah, it's never off my mind.
I felt, though, that Tomlin, are you going to go back to last Thursday? Do you get the Thursday game as part of your useless sound? We'll find out together. Let's see.
you know, we got better today. And thankfully, we got the results we wanted. You don't always get those results when you want them.
Saw a lot of open green grass and no Packers, and I could turn a 40-yard gain into 18 better than anyone in the NFL.
Did you get an injection project?
You know, I think however I take care of my body, I think that's one of those things I'd like to keep private.
So, is that a yes or no?
I said I'd like to keep it private.
What did you make of Carson overall?
Well, I think he could have played better.
I know it's so cliche and whatnot, but it really is that 1-0 mentality.
That's how you take steps, because that's a kind of a piece of accountability.
You really don't take any positives out of a loss, but a loss.
Not the end of the world, but at the same time, there's an urgency.
Looking at the glass half full, that's what you would say.
I'm not in that mindset.
We're more concerned about getting better each and every week, and that's this league.
Man, it was a full team effort there.
It was really a team win. I think it was offense, defense, special teams all working together.
Teams win football games.
Talent had nothing to do with the way we shot ourselves in the foot.
Before the game, there was an ESPN report that you guys were...
That was a bullcrap report, okay? Just so everybody understands it.
And when we needed to get it, we got it.
If I'm running it, it's usually not a good thing.
I just didn't want to quit on my team.
Best thing we can do is stack wins.
Winning is learned, and we got to feel that as a locker room.
We believed in each other. We believed in ourselves.
If you can't slow down Chubb, man, you can't beat this group.
The formula is not hard itself.
We got to gel all together. I mean, it starts with me.
Right now, it feels good to win. That's what I'll tell you.
When you can learn from wins, it's better than learning from losses.
Our backs were against the wall.
The only thing that pulls you out of it is hard work.
There is no style points in this league, but there are ways of playing more complete games, and that's what we're hunting up.
You know, sometimes you play basketball, sometimes you play baseball, sometimes obviously football, it's back and forth.
Sometimes you have to put your own goals and everything ahead or behind the team.
I believe in what we're doing, you know, but we don't have the results yet.
It's fun for me to coach football, period.
Yeah, once the kickoff happened, it was football again.
We are absolutely obsessed with the football.
I wasn't looking to be encouraged. I was looking to win the game.
I've probably read too many CIA fiction thrillers.
It's okay. Here we go. Let's try to get the next one. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And it just takes what it takes.
Obsessed. I like thinking of new ways to describe what is your addiction to the football. Is it an obsession? I also think we should start counting style points in the NFL. I think we should make a rule where America gets to vote who won on style points.
Mm-hmm. In the Broncos 49ers game, the answer would be nobody. Nobody.
America loses. Top five, according to Mina Kimes, this is big. This is giant here. Stu Gotz doesn't know whether he's got the list or his phone upside down. So yeah. Let's go.
Just confirm if you got the same list so
well,
far.
Okay.
Number five, Chris Cody.
Number five, the Baltimore Ravens.
Either the Ravens or the Bills. I'm not certain. The Baltimore right. Ravens.
Now we know what number one is.
Well, it could be five. Are yours numbered, just out of curiosity?
No, but it's very clear that the Baltimore Ravens aren't the best team
you
in
just
the league.
Ruined
I
it.
Wouldn't be so certain. The Ravens
well,
could be the best
let's
team
see,
in the NFL.
Let's see how it plays out.
Right.
No, yeah. you ruined it.
We're
it's
not
over.
Certain. So let's see how
no,
it plays
we
out.
We are certain.
I could be right,
on.
Though.
Hold yeah. on. There's still the excitement of
hold
number
on.
Four.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
You just ruined. You ruined the whole game.
Who do you have a four?
Who do you have a four? Yeah.
We now know that the Bills are number one.
Number four, the Miami Dolphins.
Can I just interrupt by sharing my favorite moment of the show when Stephon Diggs casually referred to Isaiah McKenzie as God. Lil Dirty? And,
it's the oldest this show has ever
and,
sounded.
And Dan just goes, he's dirty, and Sugatz adds and helps him out. Yeah, a little bit.
So I either have the Dolphins here or the Eagles. I'm not certain. Yeah.
I legitimately thought that I didn't even know it was a nickname. I thought he was accusing him of being a little
no,
dirty.
No, Dan, that was evident. And then Sugatz helped you. Yeah, but
the
very clearly just
show,
a little bit dirty.
It's the oldest this show has ever sounded. Luckily, Sugatz and I are going to have the same number three. Huh.
Well, I'm not so certain.
Can you not be certain?
Well, neither of them have been right so far. So
number three, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's what I have. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.